You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up. And for Baker Mayfield, it's time to get out. Did the Browns make a mistake trading Baker to Carolina? Will he actually start there? Plus, Aaron's preaching patience. But how much patience should they really have in Green Bay as the Packers try to replace his number one target? And what's going on in Brooklyn? Why hasn't Kevin Durant been traded yet? What about Kyrie Irving? We will tell you all about it this morning on Get Up. I am Dan Graziano, in for Greeny, and we have a busy morning, to say the least. Jessica Mendoza is here to talk about a big night in baseball. Nick Friedell is here to talk all things Kevin Durant with Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe. We've got Jeff Darlington. We've got Sam Acho. We've got Mike Tannenbaum here to talk the football, and it is football where we start. The story of the day from the NFL, the Browns have agreed to trade quarterback Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers for a conditional 2024 draft pick. Mayfield was the number one pick, you may remember, in the 2018 draft. Joins a Panthers team that already has quarterback Sam Darnold, who was the number three overall pick in the 2018 draft. Carolina didn't make either of those picks, but now has both quarterbacks. A tweet from the Carolina Panthers shortly after this news broke, posting this image of Baker Mayfield dressed as, well, a baker. With a tray of cookies said bake at 704. 704, of course, being the area code for Charlotte, North Carolina. So we have, as I mentioned, Jeff Darlington, Sam Acho, and Mike Tannenbaum here to talk NFL football. Let's start there. Jeff, what was the biggest reason this trade finally happened?
Dan, 3.5 million reasons. And that is what Baker Mayfield ultimately gave up in salary of his 18.8. Now, he can still earn it in incentives, but this is a significant factor here. The fact that the Carolina Panthers were willing to essentially still pay Baker Mayfield a good chunk of this, but also the Cleveland Browns picking up part of that tab. But Baker also giving up the 3.5 is the biggest factor. He essentially, very clearly, could have pushed Cleveland to an even tougher decision. They weren't going to pay him $18.8 million this coming season. They very clearly didn't have much leverage if it required Baker to give up 3.5 to go to Carolina. He could have forced their hand and gotten them to ultimately either come up in the amount of money they took on or cut Baker Mayfield. But Baker said, no, I need to restart my career now. If I want a chance to succeed this season, I've got to do it soon. So ultimately, Baker being the one to force himself out of Cleveland and into a potential starting job.
Yeah, important to remember that 18.8 was fully guaranteed. So if they had cut him, he would have gotten all of that money anyway and been able to sign anywhere else. But he's willing to give up that money to get a shot to play elsewhere outside of Cleveland. So, Sam Acho, how well is Baker Mayfield set up for success in his new place in Carolina?
I think Baker Mayfield is set up for extreme success in Carolina. Look at it. Last year, they had the 29th ranked pass protection. They added three offensive linemen. You had Ike Ekwonu, the number, probably the best offensive lineman in the draft. You get Bradley Bozeman from the Baltimore Ravens playing center. Austin Corbett, LA Rams Super Bowl champion offensive line. Add to that a healthy Christian McCaffrey, who in his first 3 years had the most yards from scrimmage out of anyone. And then add to that a healthy Baker Mayfield, like a 2020 Baker Mayfield, not a torn labrum Baker Mayfield. You add that to a solid defense, I think this team is going to go far next season.
Tannenbaum, you agree?
No, I don't. I'm skeptical for a number of reasons. In Baker Mayfield's best season, they threw the ball in 2020 501 times and ran it 496. We all love Christian McCaffrey, a dynamic player, but durability has been a massive issue for him. He's going to need to stay healthy, and I don't see it the same way as Sam does. When we saw those great Saints teams, they were able to keep the pocket firm in terms of two great guards and a center. There's a couple question marks, especially at guard with Brady Christensen. So for Baker Mayfield to excel the way he did in 2020, that offensive line is going to have to check some boxes in training camp. Maybe they can. And I just think to understand this offense, knowing that's already we're in mid-July, it's going to be a work in progress. So I think they have a chance to do well, but I don't see them excelling the way he did in 2020 with the Browns.
Sacho, you look like you had a rebuttal.
Yeah, I did. I mean, so a couple things, Mike T. As far as the offensive line, yes, of course, it's improved. But number one, the Carolina Panthers play in the NFC. The NFC is a weak conference. We all know that. He's probably the second best quarterback right now in his division in the NFC South. And so, and last year, Baker Mayfield played with a torn labrum. So if I'm a Panthers fan, I saw what happened last year. I saw us be 5-12 season last season, 15 wins over the last three seasons. That's 5 a year. I'm getting a guy who, when healthy, can lean on an offensive guy like Christian McCaffrey, can lean on a strong offensive line, right? You don't need Baker Mayfield to be excellent or outstanding. You need Baker Mayfield to be Baker Mayfield, not a guy who's trying to play with a torn labrum. And so for me, I like this move. I think this team could actually get into the playoffs in a weak NFC conference.
Darlington, I got to ask, though. I mean, we mentioned Sam Darnold is still there. His money is still guaranteed. Right. I mean, is Baker definitely going to start there? Well, how's it going to work?
Well, not to pour water on this quarterback competition, because I don't want to do that. This will be fun. But we still want to look at what happened in Denver last season. Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke, not all that fascinating to a lot of fans, but ultimately pretty much a carbon copy of what is happening now in Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater got traded from Carolina to Denver in an almost identical type of a trade. He landed there and ultimately competed with Drew Locke throughout training camp and won the job. The one thing I want to point out about Baker Mayfield, when I talked to coaches when he was coming out of the draft, Sean McVay, Sean Payton, these offensive minds loved him because of his recall. He has a photographic memory, an ability to pick up a playbook perhaps faster than anybody else in the NFL. So that's going to give him a leg up immediately when it comes to trying to come in there, even behind the eight ball, because Sam Darnold has been there, and ultimately make up a lot of ground. Do not discount that when it comes to Baker Mayfield's ability to come in and win this starting job early on.
Mike T, final word.
Yeah, I've experienced with this. Vinny Testaverde in 98, Brett Favre in 2008, Jay Cutler as an injury replacement for Ryan Tannehill in Miami. When you bring a quarterback in late, it's just not the same. I agree with Jeff. Baker Mayfield is extremely intelligent. He'll know the playbook, but I'm talking about the nuances of route running and some of the subtleties of running a pro offense. It just doesn't happen overnight, and that's why this Panther offense will be a work in progress.
Right around 3 weeks now till the start of training camp. This will be one of the more interesting position battles to watch in camp. Much more with these three guys later in the show.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
But right now, let's get to the NBA, where it's been exactly 1 week since Kevin Durant requested a trade out of Brooklyn. At the time of the request, it was reported that his preferred destinations were the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. Here we are a week later, and we are still awaiting a resolution on this situation. So we bring in our very knowledgeable basketball crew, Brian Windhorst, Zach Lowe, and Nick Friedel. Wendy, I want to start with you. Where do things stand right now with KD and a potential trade?
Yeah, when the Nets put him on the market, Dan, I think they thought there was going to be a tremendous bidding war. And while there's a lot of interest, from what I can tell, that bidding war isn't really hot right now. The teams have made their offers, and they don't really feel the need to increase them. Now, maybe we'll see a little bit of action coming out of Summer League. All of the executives are gathering in Las Vegas over the next few days, and there could be a restart in action there. But there, you know, there's been a couple of things that have happened that have, you know, even made it more complicated, that involved the Utah Jazz. The Jazz make this trade with Rudy Gobert last week, where they get an incredible haul of draft picks, which the Nets respond by saying, Well, now the price for Durant just went higher, and the rest of the league is kind of saying, we don't think so. We don't want to pay that price. We didn't like that trade. And then you look at Donovan Mitchell. After the Gobert trade, there was a belief that maybe Mitchell would be next, and maybe at some point he will be. But for now, the Jazz are telling people they don't intend to trade him. And on Mitchell's side, he's going to stand pat. He's not going to force any action right now. So without Mitchell in the market, the teams are not trying to outbid each other. It doesn't make sense for teams to sell their house to pay for a car, even if that car is a Lamborghini like Kevin Durant.
So what, Nick, what is your recourse if you're the Nets here, with the market frozen?
You just have to hope that it changes. But Dan, this is a problem. To Brian's point, the Nets were hoping, all right, Kevin Durant's available. We're going to take everything we possibly can. And that hasn't been the case. It's not like Sean Marks, Brooklyn's GM, going into work every day going, you know what I want to do today? I want to trade Kevin Durant. That's the last thing in the world this team wants, because they're completely irrelevant the second they make that deal as far as title contention. But if you have a list of teams that he wants to go to and you're trying, at least in some way, to help him get to a preferred destination, these teams are all seeing what's going on, and they're seeing that they can potentially wait it out. The difference is he's got 4 years, so the Nets can say, okay, we can bring him back, and they can pull this thing throughout the summer into training camp. It's possible, but I still think something ends up getting done here at some point.
Zach, do you think that's a legitimate threat from the Nets? We could actually keep him on the team, or no?
I think they'd like everyone to think that it's a legitimate threat, and maybe it is. Look, what everyone is saying is right. The Rudy Gobert trade was a double-edged sword for the Nets. On the one hand, it would seem to increase the price for Kevin Durant. On the other hand, it set an impossible standard for Sean Marks and the Nets to hit. You just can't get more draft picks from one team than the Jazz got from Minnesota in that trade. The standard is impossible. And then you have the list, Phoenix and Miami. And I think Phoenix, from my reporting, is a clear number one on that list. The teams who aren't on that list are going to have two separate offers for Kevin Durant. The offer that the mother load offer they'll give only if they feel like Durant wants to go there, if they can meet with him, and a lesser offer that they will give if they can't meet with Durant and so they're uncertain. But as far as Durant going back to the Nets, look, you have to say that. They have to say that. I'll believe it when I see it. And as Nick Friedel knows better than anyone, I've come to expect the worst for the Nets. They played tough with Harden. We saw what happened there. So I'm expecting something to happen before the season.
So what's the pressure point here? Like, what has to change in order for this market to kind of unfreeze?
This is why this is so strange right now, Dan, because I've covered Kevin in Oakland with the Warriors. I've now covered him in Brooklyn. The guy wants to win badly. And if he's looking around and he's saying, well, I don't want these teams to gut themselves to bring me in, because then we can't win a title. The problem for the Nets is, and this is if he were to come back to training camp, they've now traded James Harden, who would have been the second best player, for Ben Simmons, who just had back surgery, who nobody knows exactly what's going to happen in his future. Also, we're going to get to Kyrie, but if you know you're going to move on from Kyrie and Ben Simmons is there, you suddenly have a roster full of question marks around a superstar that's still in his prime.
Nets have a mess, and obviously we have a lot more time to discuss this as the coming days and weeks unfold.
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Right now, though, I want to get to the baseball, because Shohei Ohtani pitched last night, and that means it was a show in Miami against the Marlins for the Angels. Bottom of the first, Angels down 1-0. After allowing a run early, Ohtani is now in a groove on the mound. Strikes out Jesus Aguilar. on the splitter. In the third, he gets Aguilar again with the splitter. Let's take it to the fifth inning now. Jessica Mendoza, game tied at one. Bases loaded with two outs, 2-2 count. Ohtani.
But look at his swing. Look at him shorten up. And that's the thing. In that situation, bases loaded, two outs, two strikes. His lower half minimized because he wanted the RBIs. He knew what he had to do. Ohtani, we see him on the mound, but also what he can do with the bat has been amazing.
He knew what he had to do, which is everything. Up 5-1 now in the seventh inning. Ohtani continuing that strong pitching performance. Strikeout, Avisail Garcia. Strikes out, Nick Fortes swinging on the slider. Angels win the game. 5-2, Ohtani, 10 strikeouts, 2 hits allowed. He is the first player since RBIs became an official stat to have 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, multiple RBIs as a batter, and a stolen base for good measure in the same game. It's now 3 straight starts where he struck out at least 10 and allowed no earned runs. Jessica Mendoza with us here. I feel like there's almost like the questions are ridiculous now. Like, how great is this? How historic is this? But I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm watching. Is this a player who's actually getting better?
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he just turned 28 this week. I mean, he's consistently learning about his game. And I watch him on the mound, and that's where I see the growth even more. I mean, we were talking about his splitter and what he can do at the bottom of the zone. That pitch, being able to throw knees to drop off. And then, by the way, in this game, some of those strikeouts, hitting 100 miles an hour at the top of the zone. When he first came over from Japan, he could get away early on with throwing more pitches down the middle. Now he's had to understand the depth of his pitches. Being able to get a ball that looks like a strike and understanding how to widen that zone because of the hitters that he's facing. Yes, he is continuing to get better. And at 28, I expect that his ceiling is not even reached yet, which is pretty incredible with all the things he's already done.
Scary thought for the rest of baseball. In our second hour today, Jess is going to have a full breakdown of Ohtani's night on the mound. When we come back on Get Up, Aaron Rodgers is preaching patience, but should he really have patience with what he's got in Green Bay? Plus, see why he's going viral, and it has nothing to do with football. You really won't believe that one. Plus, what's the deal with Kyrie Irving? Does anyone besides the Lakers want him? Is a Hollywood reunion with LeBron inevitable? We will get into that when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up to Green Bay we go, where for the first time since 2013, Aaron Rodgers enters a season without Davante Adams, who's been his favorite receiver now for quite a while. Wednesday on the Pat McAfee Show, Rodgers talked about moving forward without Adams. Take a listen.
Let's just everybody take a nice deep, long breath and trust the training camp time that we have, trust the coaching staff, trust the relationships, trust the guys in the room like Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins to help these young guys out.
All right, Jeff, I didn't expect, you know, to hear the sky is falling, right, from Aaron Rodgers in July, but you made an interesting point in the meeting today about why things feel a little different right now in Green Bay than they have in the past couple of years.
Well, I just sense, Dan, talking to people within the Packers organization, that there is this sense of calm over Green Bay in general. And look, whoever you want to blame for past drama, whether it's Aaron Rodgers or the organization, it doesn't exist right now. And this should allow Aaron Rodgers to be a leader of the organization as opposed to sort of being this, like, almost galvanizing force within himself of a guy like, say, rally around me and I'll take you to the promised land. Ultimately, it feels like this organization has a certain sense of synergy about it that it has not had in past years. And of course, I should put this disclaimer in there. The past 2 years, even with that drama, has led to Aaron Rodgers being a two-time MVP. So it's not as if I'm saying that Aaron Rodgers has underperformed here. I'm just saying as a whole, as a team, and as a form of leadership, I think that this could set up better for Green Bay than it has for year, in years past.
That certainly makes sense. Obviously, the drama of the past couple off seasons kind of overwhelmed everything there. And you're right, he had success, but the team didn't go as far as it wanted. But, Mike, to all those points that Jeff made, they're all good points, but they still don't have Davante Adams. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, right?
That's exactly right. They're going to struggle on offense, especially early. As Hembo has reminded us, the most receptions a rookie receiver has ever had is 38. Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in the NFL, if not the best one. You simply can't replace him with Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, and Alan Lazard. So while I love Christian Watkins long-term, I really think they're going to struggle short-term, and it's going to be their defense that's going to have to carry them. So I have much more concerns than Jeff does, because while it may be calm, I just don't think they're going to be as productive without Davante Adams.
Yeah, defense, they like their running backs, obviously. But, Sacho, do you share the same concerns Mike T has about the passing game?
I don't. Aaron Rodgers won MVPs before Davante Adams. He could win MVPs after Davante Adams. His second MVP was Davante Adams' rookie year, talking about rookie receiver, second-round pick. And so, yes, there is going to be a drop-off. Davante Adams is and has been for the last 5-6 years the best receiver in football. But we're talking about four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about a really, really underrated or not talked about defense. And we're talking about a rookie receiver, Christian Watson, who we think could be good. And so I am concerned, yes, but I'm not as concerned as maybe Mike T might be, not only because of the guy who's playing quarterback number 12, but also the division they're playing in, right? The Bears are rebuilding. Vikings, we'll see what they can do this year. So I am not overly concerned about Aaron Rodgers.
Mike T, where do you put the Packers now among the NFC contenders?
Oh, clearly they're third. You have the Rams and the Buccaneers that are in a massive arms race. I think the Buccaneers got better because they got a better head coach in Todd Bowles over Bruce Arians. And I think the Packers are clearly third. And when you look at those first two teams, they're doing everything they can to win now. And I'm just hard-pressed to think that in 2022, without Davante Adams, this team's going to be better.
All right. Look, enough of this frivolous football stuff. I want to get into the real story around Aaron Rodgers today, and that is Meanwhile on Planet Earth. Look, guys, if I told you Aaron Rodgers got a tattoo, I bet you would say, well, I bet it's incredibly complicated and intricate and doesn't make a lot of sense to people, except he wants us to feel dumb. How did I do on my description here?
You hit the nail on the head.
We couldn't just get a
one minute we're talking about retreats with... You know, Dan, one minute we're talking about retreats with Aaron Rodgers. Now we're at this tattoo. He takes us to places we never thought we'd go.
I mean, what are we
Dan, do you know that
here?
I actually have a tattoo as well? I walked into a tattoo parlor one year, probably about 15 years ago, and I asked for a dot, just one dot, right on my shoulder right here, which is probably much more explanatory of me, too. It's a good analogy. I'm a very simple man. Aaron Rodgers, quite different.
But, quite different.
Why would you just get a dot? If that's going to get a tatted, why a dot? Can we explain that, Jeff Darlington, please?
You'd have to ask the version of myself that walked into the tattoo parlor that day, Sam.
We'll have more on Jeff Darlington's tattoo history as Get Up rolls along in the coming weeks, I sort of promise. Anyway, coming back up on this Today Show, I'm all flustered by Aaron Rodgers' tattoo. The last quarterback domino left to fall. How does the Baker Mayfield trade impact Jimmy G's future in San Francisco? Plus a grand night for the Yankees' Aaron Judge, who bet on himself and so far is winning big time. Why has he been so good this season? Jessica Mendoza is here to tell you why when we come back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up, and now that the Baker Mayfield shoe has dropped, the offseason spotlight moves to 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, who led San Francisco to the NFC Championship game last season. All indications are that the team intends to trade him and move forward with second-year man Trey Lance, who they moved up to take number 3 overall in last year's draft. So I want to talk about this situation with Jeff Darlington and Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, put yourself in the shoes of 49ers GM John Lynch. Is he doing the right thing here if he moves on from Garoppolo?
No. Why are we complicating this? As Hembo reminded us today, all Jimmy Garoppolo's done has won 70% of the games he started, and on the offense, they averaged 28 points a game. This team has a great chance to win the Super Bowl right now. They were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, championship game last year. I love Trey Lance. I think he has a chance to be really good for the next 5 or 10 years, but right now, all he is a massive question mark. Why not, at the most important position, quarterback, operate from a position of strength and depth and keep Jimmy Garoppolo for this season, knowing that through 17 games, he may get nicked up. Trey Lance, we don't know about his durability. There's no chance I'm trading him if I'm the 49ers.
Sure. I mean, that sounds very logical, of course, Jeff. But, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is very expensive. What are the 49ers going to do? Are they thinking about keeping him?
I love that Tannenbaum has been dying on this hill this offseason. And I think you make some really good points about it. The only thing I'd say is that Kyle Shanahan feels very differently about that. He believes that he could win, you see that 70% stat, that he could win 71% of his games with a different quarterback. And Jimmy G wants nothing to do with this situation again in San Francisco. He dreaded it. He did not, like, I shouldn't say that. He enjoyed the locker room, but he did not enjoy the experience of essentially losing his job to the rookie and then being put in to save the day. He doesn't want to do that again. Ultimately, Jimmy Garoppolo will be traded from the San Francisco 49ers, and I believe it will happen before week one of this upcoming season.
So what, I mean, what's the market like? We already saw Carolina went ahead and got Baker Mayfield. I assume that takes them out of it if they were ever in it. Like, where, right now, where are the spots for him? Jeff?
You know, Dan, I've never sensed that Baker Mayfield and Jimmy Garoppolo were vying for the same jobs. Baker, I expected to kind of enter into a training camp competition. Jimmy G, for whatever reason, I think is going to wind up being one of these training camp situations where a team suffers an injury, doesn't have exactly what they thought they had. Whatever the case, they could wind up saying, you know what, Jimmy G is a perfect a quarterback for this situation. And ultimately, Jimmy has not been able to throw this offseason because of his shoulder surgery that he endured. That will happen very soon. And once he proves that he can throw the football, a very important part of the position, I think he'll find himself a landing spot.
That's a good breakdown of quarterback play there by Jeff Darlington. Mike, do you have a spot in mind for Jimmy if they do ignore your advice and decide to trade him?
Yeah, let's put a ribbon on this conversation this morning. Cleveland Browns. Let's assume that Deshaun Watson is going to have a significant suspension. Jacoby Brissett, obviously, he's been a competent starter. They're going to need a lot more than that with that roster to get to where they want to go in terms of they have a chance they can win right now. So why not fortify Jacoby Brissett with competition and depth in Jimmy Garoppolo? So to me, this sort of comes full circle. If they're going to move him, which I believe wouldn't be a good idea, I would certainly say Cleveland goes to the top of the list for now. Because, again, guys, it's a 17-game season. We know the NFC North is a tough division. If Deshaun Watson misses meaningful or all the season, it's hard to think they want to take that roster that they have just with Jacoby Brissett into the season.
Interesting idea. The Browns, much like us, are waiting on a resolution of the Deshaun Watson situation, which should come, hopefully, later this month.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Go back to baseball now, and the Yankees were visiting the Pirates, and after what they did, it's unlikely they're going to be invited back. Top of the sixth, Yankees lead 3-0. They have no runners on, two outs. Joey Gallo at the plate. Gallo hits a no-doubter. This one is crushed to right center for a solo home run that puts the Yankees up 4-0. Jessica Mendoza, Yankees, tearing the cover off the ball.
Yeah, they needed this part of the lineup, too, to get going, Joey Gallo. But how about Aaron Judge? Talk about part of the lineup and a guy they didn't need any more. 30 home runs now on this season. This one a grand slam early on in the game.
That one put the Yankees up 9-0. They were not done. They're up 10-0 in the ninth inning. Bases loaded. Pirates put their second baseman on the mound, Josh Van Meter, and
Okay, now it's slow pitch style. Okay, now right. We're just looking. I mean, it's an ugly game, the entire offense. This is one you can't wait to get a bat. Get me in this game if you're a Yankee.
Yankees won 16-0. It's their largest shutout victory since 1960, which I found interesting. I mean, it's not like this is the first Yankee team since 1960 that could hit. But Aaron Judge is locked in. Right, we know all about his contract situation. He didn't sign before the season, bet on himself. Right now, you mentioned 30 home runs. What makes him the best hitter in the game right now?
It's the power that he has so deep in his body. So the ability, we know how strong he is. You see the stature of him in the batter's box. But the opposite field power. And look at where he makes contact with these pitches. I mean, we're talking back hip. Yeah. I mean, if you hit anything, I mean, grab a bat, hit anything off of that back hit, put up a tee, you're not going to be able to have power. You might get a weak shot at best over the second baseman's head. But the amount of power that Aaron Judge has deep in his body. So what does this do for him? It not only allows him to hit any fastball anywhere. So not only being able to hit a fastball out front, but off that back leg, but then being able to have the adjustment to hit the breaking ball. So if he's hitting with that kind of power here, to now be able to have 5 feet of difference. So when he sees a breaking ball, even if it fools him, he now has so much length to his swing because he's got power from hip to all the way up past his front foot. That to me is what makes him so good and so scary, is because he can hit anything because of the power from his back hip all the way out front.
Fascinating. Just that big and that strong all the way throughout. I mean, all we've ever been taught from kids is you got to hit the ball out in front of the plate, right?
And you do.
He doesn't.
Unless you're him.
Right. So he's on pace now for 60 home runs. Yeah. We talked about 1960 earlier. I mean, you know, that 60 number is a magical number in baseball. And yes, I know it was 61. Don't get started. But anyway, can he get there?
I mean, absolutely he can. I think the biggest thing is health. And honestly, when you look at this team and how we're going to utilize him, what I like about Aaron Judge is we get excited about the power. Of course, who doesn't? But to me, it's also the average. I mean, this is a guy that will also shorten his swing when he can to be able to get RBIs. He wants this team to be in the postseason. And let's be real, the Yankees, this is a World Series or bust type team. So what I see from Aaron Judge is, of course, yes, the power. He can get to 60-plus home runs because he's capable. But watch him in the second half of the season have a different swing, two strikes, ability to be able to get his team with his average and take those base hits and doubles and not always the home runs. And that would be the only reason, in my opinion, he doesn't get to 60 home runs.
Because of the way they're going to pitch him?
Because of the way that he'll adjust his swing to be able to still hit for average. He's not an all or nothing home run hitter, which you see a lot of times from these 60 plus home run guys.
Right. Yankees have bigger dreams than just individual statistical goals. Of course, as you mentioned, they're trying to win the World Series. So, look, when we get in the next hour, Jess's going to have a full breakdown on Aaron Judge and what he's going to command in his next contract. Hint, there are a lot of zeros in those figures.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The first round of this year's NHL draft is tonight from Montreal. That's at 7 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. John Buccigross hosts along with a cast of hockey experts who will provide stats, information, and break down each pick. The host Canadiens have the first overall pick. A developing story now from Russia, where Brittany Griner is back in court right now for the second day of her trial on drug smuggling charges. Griner was arrested in February at a Moscow airport after she was caught carrying vape canisters allegedly containing cannabis oil. If convicted, she could face up to 10 years in prison. Last night, 6,000 miles away from Moscow, Griner's team, the Mercury, held a rally in downtown Phoenix. Wearing BG shirts and holding signs, several hundred fans were there to show their support. Griner's wife, Sherelle, was on hand, and she spoke to the crowd.
I'm frustrated that 140 days have passed since my wife has been able to speak to me, to our family, and to her friends. I'm frustrated that my wife is not going to get justice. Let's make sure this administration knows that they have our support to do whatever is necessary, and that we are not going to ever be quiet until she's home safely.
The White House said yesterday that President Biden called Grinder's wife to assure her he's doing all he can to get her released as soon as possible. They spoke after Biden read a letter from Grinder in which she said she feared she would never return home. We come back on Get Up. We will talk about Kyrie Irving and whether anyone besides the LA Lakers is interested in acquiring him. Will he reunite in Hollywood with LeBron James? We'll get into that when we come back. We are debuting a brand new segment today called Windy Watch because Brian Windhorst turned himself into a meme last week, and we're just going to lean into that for the foreseeable future. Brian's going to run through some players he's keeping an eye on this offseason, starting with Donovan Mitchell. Brian, go!
Yeah, Dan, so the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell are kind of in a bad marriage right now, but they're going to stay together for the sake of the kids. The Jazz are saying that they're not interested in trading him. Donovan Mitchell has not requested a trade, and at the moment seems to be just waiting back and watching. I'm not sure they both don't need therapy, but for the time being, Donovan Mitchell will stay off the market. We'll see if that changes as we get to training camp. Now, there is a forgotten man out there, and that's DeAndre Ayton. And this man, at some point, is going to get paid, and that could be by the end of this week. The Indiana Pacers are seriously considering giving him an offer sheet. They're also interested in negotiating a sign-and-trade with the Phoenix Suns for Ayton, potentially involving Miles Turner to be his replacement at center. But holding everything up is the Suns' negotiations for Kevin Durant, which are probably not going to end soon, and Ayton may have to move on and do his own deal. And as long as we're talking about Kevin Durant, we must bring up his partner, Kyrie Irving. Now, Irving absolutely wants to be a Los Angeles Laker. This we know. The Lakers want Kyrie Irving. This we know. But making that happen, that's a different story. We don't really get a good feel that there's any team seriously in the market for Kyrie right now beyond the Lakers. It doesn't mean they don't like him or value him. They just don't want to pay a potential price that the Nets are asking. So this is one of those things where we just have to wait and see. I doubt Kyrie will be back. I think he'll be on the Lakers, but I don't know when it'll happen.
Right. So this is a little bit similar to what we were talking about last hour with Durant, right? In that everybody knows they got to move him, and therefore the market is cooled. So the Nets' threat will be, oh, we don't have to trade him. We can just keep him. Is that realistic?
No. Because, Dan, so many people were so miserable in that organization at the end of the Kyrie experience last year. They were so tired of all the stuff they were dealing with off the floor and on the floor. While he was awesome at times, it just wasn't worth all the things that accompanied that arrival night to night for a guy that they knew they couldn't count on. So do I believe there's a chance that Kevin Durant could start training camp if this thing gets stretched out? Yes, he has strong relationships in the organization. People know that he puts in the work no matter what. The same cannot be said for Kyrie. They respect the talent, but they don't like all the baggage that comes with it.
All right, so that's one team we know he won't be playing for next year. Zach, how do you see this playing out with Kyrie Irving?
Look, if I'm the Nets, I say, okay, Kyrie, nobody wants you other than the Lakers. Now, I think with time, that could change. I do think there are a couple teams who could dive in if they sense that nothing is happening with the Lakers. But if I'm the Nets, I say, nobody wants you. Lakers, you have LeBron James toward the very end of his career. You have to win right now. By the way, he's up for an extension in August. He hasn't signed anything yet or indicated that he's going to quite yet. You have LeBron and Anthony Davis. Guess what? That's not enough to win the championship. You know that. We know that. You need Kyrie Irving. We're going to sit back and wait for you to give us both first-round picks, 2027 and 2029. By the way, we don't want to hear anything about protections on those picks. We want them whole hog. unprotected. And Kyrie Irving, if you don't get traded to the Lakers, if they don't give us that stuff, you can sit at home just like you did for almost all of last season. We don't care. Wake us up when there's more options. So if I'm the Nets, I'm absolutely taking a super hard line because the Lakers know they can't win the title as presently constructed. And if it takes all season, it takes all season. I don't really care. That's my stance for now.
So that's Zach's thoughts on how the Nets should approach this. Wendy, how should the Lakers be approaching this situation?
Yeah, we have heard more in the last week about teams that have no interest in Kyrie Irving than teams that do have interest. There was some reports that maybe Philly, maybe Dallas, and those teams like very quickly pushed back on it. No, 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 no. We don't want him. And so if you're the Lakers, I appreciate what Zach's negotiating point is. I love the whole hog draft pick. I think that should be part of the NBA lexicon out here in the Midwest. We like talking like that. If you're the Lakers, you're saying, who are we bidding against? Why should we include those things? Who are we bidding against? Why should we unprotect the picks? You know, do you have another offer that would make us change our stance? And that's the position that the Lakers have taken. And frankly, I don't disagree with it. Now, the thing that could change all this, LeBron can begin contract extension talks in early August. If those talks don't go anywhere, that could be a third party here that changes the discussion. We're going to watch and wait for that.
Dan, how bad is the Lakers roster construction where you see all the things that happened with Kyrie last couple of years and you go, you know what? That's the guy who's going to save us. That's the guy who's going to make this all better. How bad could it be in L.A. that Kyrie Irving could be viewed as the savior for a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
Well, we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about how bad things were in L.A. this year. Zach, is he the answer for the Lakers?
He's an answer. And look, to Brian's point, what I'm negotiating, what the Nets say, what the Lakers are negotiating against, if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, is my willingness to just keep Kyrie Irving all year, even if he doesn't play. That's what you're negotiating against. My team's in smithereens. My team's being blown to dust. Why do I care if Kyrie has to sit out the whole year? I want the whole hog picks. And Wendy hit the nail on the head with LeBron's extension being a big...
That's fine.
Call my
I'm
bluff.
I'm calling your bluff.
I don't
you
care.
Don't want him
I'm
back.
The most,
you
I'm,
don't want him back. You're
I'm
not going to play him.
I'm the most dangerous man.
Send him on the next flight.
The most dangerous man in the NBA negotiating table is the one with nothing to lose, and I've got nothing to lose right now if I'm Sean Marks. I've already lost everything. My team is about to be blown to smithereens. But look, I like some of what the Lakers did in the offseason. They went younger with Lonnie Walker, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Troy Brown Jr., Damian Jones, Thomas Bryant. They went younger. Kyrie would be a great fit, but going younger is cool. The Clippers, the Nuggets, the Warriors, the Wolves, like those are really, really good teams. And LeBron, AD, Russ, and this supporting cast isn't good enough. LeBron, AD, Kyrie in this supporting cast, I've got at least a puncher's chance and probably more. So the Lakers need to have some urgency here. At least if I'm Brooklyn and Sean Marks, you got to approach me with some urgency because you can't win now. But with Kyrie, you got a shot.
Wendy, you agree? Does he make the Lakers a contender?
I'll tell you who agrees. LeBron James agrees. And in the end, that may be the only thing that matters. We'll see.
Yeah, and you mentioned that pressure point that could be coming involving LeBron James contract talks. He could be the guy that puts the pressure on the Lakers, right, to get something like this done?
He almost always is that
yes.
guy. And he knows Kyrie. He's got the ego to handle to think he can get Kyrie back on track. But I have news for LeBron. Good luck to you on that front.
We'll obviously keep an eye on this situation. But meanwhile, on planet Earth, PJ Tucker recently signed with the 76ers, posted a thank you to the Heat fans and organization on his way out the door. Jimmy Butler, his now former teammate, didn't take it well. We can't tell you exactly what Butler said, but, something you and Joel Embiid, yeah, I brought him into this, shrug emoji. Guys,
this is Jimmy's love language,
this
Dan.
Is, yeah.
This is how Jimmy communicates his love. He really enjoyed playing with PJ Tucker. He really wanted him back. He really likes Joel Embiid. He knows they're going to be good in Philly. But you want to know how you've made it in Jimmy Butler's world? You get an Instagram comment just like that.
Yeah, obviously he's going to miss PJ on the Heat. And now he's got to compete against him, which I'm sure is part of that obviously, not real hard feelings, but Twitter hard feelings. We'll keep an eye on what Miami does in response to losing PJ. Tonight, the NBA 2K23 Summer League is back for another year in Vegas, and we'll have a doubleheader of opening night games for you. Our coverage starts with Rockets Magic at 10 Eastern, followed by the Trailblazers and Pistons. It's all on ESPN and the ESPN app. To the tennis now, to Wimbledon, and number 2 seed Rafael Nadal taking on 11 seed Taylor Fritz. This is the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Third set, Nadal trailing 3-1, sends the Fritz return inside out for a winner. Wins the fourth set 7-5. What are we doing here? We're in the fourth set. He's serving for set point here. I messed up. Wins the fourth set 7-5, and we got David Beckham in the crowd enjoying himself in a nice fancy brown suit. Fifth set tied at 3, Nadal with a break point. Nadal follows a powerful inside-out forehand with a half volley that Fritz can't reach. What a combination of shots by Nadal. He secures the break and a 4-3 lead in the decisive fifth set. Very next game, it's 15-all. We have another extended rally between the two. Fritz takes Nadal's backhand on a short hop, and Nadal can't reach it in time. What a shot by Fritz. Breaks right back, and we're tied at 4 in the final set. Match would head to a fifth set tiebreak. Nadal up 6-3 in that tiebreak, has Fritz on his heels. Uses the drop shot. Fritz dives and gets the ball, but Nadal is there for the easy winner. Fritz laying it all on the line, but he trails 7-3. Now Nadal looking to finish up 9-4. Match point off of Fritz's return. Nadal rips a cross-court forehand winner to win the match and continue his pursuit of his first Wimbledon title since 2010. Nadal is a perfect 19-0 in the majors this year, tying the second longest major win streak of his career. His quest for a third straight major continues in the semifinals tomorrow. Nadal is currently an underdog at Caesars to win that match. Coming up, bye-bye Baker. Did the Browns make a mistake trading Mayfield, and will he be the starter in Carolina now that he's a Panther? We will talk about that when we come back.